is a good recording, man.
Yeah, I can dig it. Solid, right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. You know, the Bucks frustrated me so much on Friday night, I didn't even watch the game yesterday.
Well, so you're reading my mind because, you know, the Bucks are a saga, man, that, you know, you get so excited about the possibility when Damian Lillard came on and looking at what they had and, you know, things don't always go according to plan. And watching the game yesterday, you kind of knew what the outcome was going to be. No Giannis, no Dame. And then Bobby Portis gets kicked out in the first 4 minutes of the game. So you clearly take away three of the top four scorers. And Chris Middleton, bless his heart.
Yeah, you can say that twice, even for the game on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has played more minutes in the last two games than he probably has the whole season. And, you know, he's not, you know, as young and as spry as he used to be. And he gave it all he had, and so did the rest of the Bucks. But I don't care who the team is, Calvin, if you take three of the top four scorers out, right?
Yeah, it sucks because we weren't looking that good coming into the playoffs, so something was going to have to change for next year. But now we kind of have an excuse, like, oh, well, everyone was hurt. Giannis didn't even play. Dame missed, like, so we might be back in the same place next year.
Well, based on what they've said already, Dame's not playing tomorrow. Neither is Giannis. They're down 3-1. You can play taps for them. We're done. They're playing against a young, athletic team. You know, that's pretty talented themselves. And, you know, that the heartbreak about the watching and being a fan is, you know, they play 82 games. That's a lot of basketball. I mean, yes, that's not counting the preseason.
Yeah.
And you play all of that to get to the playoffs. And for the most part, guys are healthy except for Middleton. And then all of a sudden,
you know, the wheels come off.
Yeah, and this is 2 years in a row now for Giannis. You know, last year was his back. He couldn't play because of the damage to the back. And it wasn't his fault. He took a hard fall. And he's finding out that he's not Calvin's age anymore. it's rough. And I know, man, you know, hoping against hope, you know, that tomorrow's their last stand. And, there's just no way they're going to beat that team. They needed Giannis and Lillard and everybody else they could get to beat them anyway.
Yeah, Dame's performance in game one kind of bought us a game. And then game two, I was kind of okay with losing after stealing game one. But game three, we really needed Giannis back.
Well, no question. He's been missed. There is no question. If you take the best player, let's say you take Jokic off of Denver for the playoffs, I guarantee you Denver's not going to be as good as they are, right?
Oh, certainly not.
You know, so if you take the best player off of any team I don't care how good they are. Some teams will be able to do a better job of it because they're more balanced. But you take the best player off of any team in the NBA, and that team's going to catch hell trying to win a seven-game series.
Yeah, even the most balanced teams, I think, would struggle. I think even the Celtics would struggle without Jason Tatum.
Oh, there's no question. They got a better chance of winning because of all the young talent they have around them. But you're right. You know, you take the best player off the team, and that's what it is. Anyway, got a lot to talk about this morning, as always. And we're going to talk about, you know, a new study that talks about $1 trillion worth of food is wasted each year around the world. Calvin, people are hungry. We can do a better job, right? People all over the world are hungry. $1 trillion worth of food is thrown away each year. We got to do a better job of that. And we certainly can, not as a nation, but, you know, the entire human family. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about, Calvin, I don't know, you probably agree with this. President should be above the law.
I definitely do not agree with that.
I mean, it's an insane conversation to even have, right?
Yeah, it's absurd, but that's the world we're living in.
I mean, it's absolutely crazy to say that a president, Calvin, who can only get 4 years in office, you know, 8 years in office, can do whatever they want to do. And then for the rest of their lives, they're free. Doesn't matter what they did. I mean, come on. And that thought never took place any time before this. And the fact that we have conversations about absurd things and they become real, it's just getting to be more and more trying, I think, for most of us. We're going to talk about sex education in the school. Calvin, did you have any sex education in there in school?
Yeah, I think it started in third or fourth grade.
Yeah, why would people be opposed to that?
I'm not sure.
I mean, there are parents who can't have the conversations with their children. Many. It's just true. And so, Calvin, you may not know it, man, but and the people in the audience, but syphilis and gonorrhea and all of these diseases that at some point in time had been eradicated are back amongst young people. So knowing those things, why would you be opposed to, if parents can't educate their children about it, why would you be so opposed to somebody and they would do it in a tactful way? Would you say that the sex education classes that you went to were done in a tactful way?
Well, yeah, and it's more than just even about sex. It's about the human body and puberty and how, the changes your body goes through.
Yes, it's nonsensical, again, for us to continue to refuse to look at things that make sense. And we disavow them because we don't understand the impact of what they are doing. We're going to talk about police brutality and student anti-war movements. It's Calvin, this thing is out of control. And there are beatings of college students by law enforcement. Have you been reading or hearing about those things?
I haven't read about any beatings, but I have heard about the arrests, yes.
Absolutely. And, you know, as a generation who did those things ourselves, Calvin, many, many of us and people we knew protested. And, you know, Vietnam War, civil rights, that's what we did. Why are we so gung-ho on telling young people today that they don't have a right to do it, man? It is just unconscionable. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about, depending on, you know, how much time we have left, red states fight growing efforts to give basic income to residents who struggle financially. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, Christian nationalists. And I don't know, Calvin, you know, I had never heard of Christian nationalism growing up. But that's all you hear about now, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm pretty aware of it. It kind of is, it's one of those things that kind of almost stems from the internet. Like, it seems like the internet is a breeding ground for that kind of extremism.
And yet Christian nationalism seems to have more power than Christianity, even though there's only a handful of Christian nationalists compared with the different denominations of Christianity. I don't understand how a handful of Christian nationalists can control a narrative about what Christianity stands for. The Christians should be outraged. Christians should be pushing back on Christian nationalists and saying, hey, you don't represent the Christ that I stand for. I mean, I don't understand why that continues to be the narrative that we see every day. And these people are controlling what happens in this country. And yet we have Christians who, you know, make up the majority of the Americans. Christians, where are you at on the fact that people have stolen your religion? Got a lot to talk about, as you can see. 844-967-2789 is the number. I'm your host, Earl Ingram. Calvin is going to be holding down the fort, as he always is, and you can join the conversation on the other side. We're gonna start with the Christian nationalists. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Christian nationalism. So what is it? Christian nationalism is a type of religious nationalism. Again, a type of religious nationalism that focuses on the internal politics of society and the role of religion in social and political life. Christian nationalists believe that the United States is a Christian nation and that the government should take steps to preserve the country's Christian identity and roots. This includes advocating Christian values, passing laws, and enacting policies that reflect those values. Christian nationalists also believe that the separation of church and state is not a formal law that should be followed. So all of this definition, the words that denote who a Christian nationalist is, and all of that, I didn't hear anything about somebody who's a Christ follower. Because after all, what is a Christian? One who crystallizes himself with Christ. One who follows the beliefs of Christ. Has nothing to do with, you know, nationalism. Not mentioned anywhere when you talk about, you know, Christ. Christendom, you know, is something that was created after the death of Christ. Christ never knew anything about Christianity. It came after his death, and the people from Antioch started talking about his followers, and they named themselves Christians. So when you have people who want to talk about their beliefs and a nation that's founded under Christian principles, Christ wouldn't believe and agree with any of that. That's not what he stood for. So when people continue to push those precepts and create division, where's the pushback? Christ would be pushing back against that. Christians, where you at? 844-967-2789. You see the division that these people are causing? They're a handful of people. Christ would be out front fighting that. We allow this handful of people to work towards destroying this nation. Hey, 844-967-2789. If you're a Christian nationalist, you're welcome. You have a chance to explain what it is you are saying. Well, the nation was founded under Christian principles. No, it wasn't. That's not true. And so I don't know why Christians don't push back against that. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Susan. Good morning to you, Susan. Am I off base?
You're on point exactly. And we did not want church and state combined because of what was going on in Europe and how the Europeans literally destroyed different religions. And so when the Constitution was written, and it was written by John Jay, Alexander Hamilton, and Madison, they did not want any kind of religion involved in our government. But Christian nationalism is not a religion. It is a political force that is built up from, I would believe, people who are rich in power and to stir up these people, but they use those particular names. They're dog whistles, okay, to gather people. And it, to me, what they are talking about is fascism, racism, all the things that we work so hard to do away in this country. We want our people to come together as a unified nation. No matter what religion, what you believe in, we are Americans. That is what we are known for. And I'm so sick and tired of hearing these Christian nationalists. I'm also so sick of people burning books and talking about different people because of their gender or whatever. We got to get rid of all.
So, Susan, where is the pushback from Christians against those who call themselves Christian nationalists? Because you are right, they're a political entity. They're not. They've kind of stolen the term Christian, and so I would think that Christians would push back against what is happening in the name of Christ, because that's definitely not what Christ stood for.
Yeah, and I would like to see people go ahead, and it shouldn't be just us. I mean, us people. I include you as a friend.
Yeah,
people. Like you and I who have lived through all this and seen this, and we push back, and then they stand back. If you don't correct the problem, you're part of the problem. So people who actually believe in Jesus Christ and God, push back on this, because you're going to lose your rights. You're going to lose your churches eventually. Because these people will take over completely. It is the same thing that occurred in Germany in the 1930s.
Hey, Susan, thank you very much, as always. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. I don't know what will. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Welcome back to Motown Monday. You know, and, you know, before we went to break, I was talking about Christian nationalism. And, you know, Christian nationalism is basically people who look at, you know, Christianity through their prism of politics. And, you know, nothing could be further from what Christianity stands for than politics. And so when at the root of your belief is politics first and your religion second, you know, then you wind up with what we're dealing with the people who call themselves Christian nationalists. Let's go to Karina from Milwaukee. Hey, good morning to you, Karina. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Listen, I wanna have just a literature for 1 second, right?
Go
first,
ahead.
Ten commandments. Let's start with Ten Commandments. First commandment, you shall have
no other God
before
me. Right.
First, immunity of Trump against of amendment, First Amendment of Constitution, right? Against of First Commandment, biblical wife, right? And the Supreme Court shouldn't be even consider that because it's just simply against of any rule of this land. One. Two, if we're talking about conservative Christians or the Christians themselves.
No
again,
such thing.
Back to the First Amendment. No religion in the state. Okay, guys? Read your own constitution and go back and look. The Christianity Inquisition, that's what we're talking about. The Christianity Crucifixion when they went to Middle East, right? The knights in the middle of medieval, they went to Middle East. What did they get? Absolutely nothing.
So, right? Yeah, so you know, Karina, it is incumbent upon Christians to push back on this group of, you know, evangelical Christianity, which bastardizes what Christianity stands for, you know, and even what the Bible stands for. And so if they're going to continue to allow these people to control what Christianity stands for, you know, it's not going to be very long before they take control over what Christianity is. I wish I had more time, Karina, but thank you very much for the call as always. Hey, Tom from LA, what's going on, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. Remember that. Get out, vote. Register yourself to vote. Register people who have never voted before. Register them and get them out to vote because it is our country at the end of the day. I am so sick of them blaspheming Jesus's name and Christ's name the way that they do. I learned when I was a young child that being a Christian means walking in the footsteps of Christ, looking at Christ as our role model of how it is that we should live our life. That's what being a Christian is about. I know there's people out there that think, oh, just because Jesus died for our sins, we can sin all the way to the end of the, you know, their life, and then all of a sudden say, oh, I believe that Christ died for my sins, therefore I'm going to the pearly gates. People, you're going to have a real rude awakening, and you know what? Jesus is not going to be happy with you to use his name in vain. Christ is not going to be happy that you keep using his name in vain. Christian means walking in the footsteps of Christ. And Earl, you asked how can we push back on this?
I said they should push back.
No, I agree. And the Republicans should, you know, definitely, or the right wing, or whoever these people are, first of all, I'll call them anti-Christian nationalists because they have nothing to do with Christ. But, you know, when our media constantly is saying Christian nationalists, Christian nationalists, Christian nationalists, I don't know. The Republicans seem to have a real way with getting words changed to what it is that they want, which is the opposite of what they actually mean. Just like the word woke, they seem to make up their own language. And I guess that's how they get their, you know, their dog whistles. Oh, dog, sorry, I didn't mean to say that since that South Dakota governor killed their puppy at 14 months. Yeah, it's a dog whistle in terms of them being able to speak a different language to each other, within each other. But our corporate media seems to repeat their wording, and it becomes part of the lexicon, which is really, really sad. I don't know what the answer is to push back on it because of the fact that it's mentioned over and over again. It's almost like Fox News. Fox News is not news. It's just their name brand. It's called Fox News. They should not be able to use the word news even in their thing, just like NBC doesn't use news in their the name of their, you know, broadcast unless it's in the public good and it's at, you know, it is news. Fox is just Fox, and that's just the bottom line, just like woke means waking up.
So Tom, man, thank you very much for the call as always. Now I want to get to my next topic. And my next topic is, are presidents above the law? Just just try to wrap your mind around where we are at this time in the society. That we have a United States Supreme Court having a debate on whether or not presidents are immune and should not be charged with anything while they're presidents of the United States. This conversation has never been brought up ever with all the other presidents of the United States. It's never been an issue. And so I dare anyone, to tell us another time that this conversation was being had. No other president ever brought it up. And the person that's bringing it up now, he's not a president. He once was, but he's not now. And so, you know, I wonder why President Obama, President Clinton, President Bush the second, who did I leave out? They're still alive. Those are the three. There's actually four. Jimmy Carter, I think, is still hanging on. But why won't those presidents, former presidents, say this is a ridiculous conversation to even be had? Why are we having this conversation? No president should be immune. You know, I remember Richard Nixon, 844-967-2789 is the number. I remember Richard Nixon like yesterday, kind of asking for the same thing. But what Richard Nixon got was an understanding that our nation was not going to tolerate criminals and presidents doing criminal things in office. Many of you in this audience remember that. It didn't get anywhere. So why has it gotten this far? The United States Supreme Court having a conversation on whether or not the president of the United States can be absolved of criminal activities. Why he's in the White House? I mean, the conversation is ludicrous. Donald Trump thinks presidents should be allowed to commit crimes while they're in the White House. Calvin, that's really what he's saying. That's what he's saying. I should be able to commit a crime in the White House because I'm the president of the United States, and I should be able to get away with that.
Yeah, and luckily some of the Supreme Court members are walking down his attorneys down the logical conclusion to that path of, well, wouldn't Biden have that, and couldn't Biden just do whatever he wants to Trump then? Like, it's just not, he's not thinking, I don't think.
Who, Trump?
Yes.
Oh, he is thinking. He's got some plans.
It's delay the criminal trials as long as possible so he can be president.
And again, even once he becomes president, he's got some plans that he wants to implement and to be able to walk away clean. Trump claims a quote, and this is, again, Robert Reich from The Nation of Change. Trump claims a quote, a president of the United States must have full immunity from prosecution for any crime committed while in office. His lawyers even claim that a president could be immune from prosecution for having a political opponent assassinated. Trump says anything less than total immunity would, quote, incapacitate every future president. It would, baloney. And this is what the response by Robert Reich, baloney. It would incapacitate him. He's the only president who's been criminally charged with trying to orchestrate a violent coup on January 6, 2021. Trump wants to turn the U.S. president into a supreme ruler who is not bound to the same laws that everyone else is. the very antithesis of the bedrock values this country was founded on. A president shouldn't be above the law. President can get at the most 8 years in office. And after 8 years, if he committed some crime in office, he should be charged. That's what I believe. You know, the president isn't God. He's not the emperor. Donald Trump is trying to make it that. And so the pushback should be loud and clear. You're the president of the United States. You commit a crime. You should do the time. It's easy to talk about little people committing crimes and the fact that we should lock them away. But no president of the United States should be free. And again, this conversation has never been had before in the history of our nation. It's easy to figure out why is it being had now. And so, you know, as long as the American people don't push back on these kinds of things, we're going to continue to have the conversations. We should all be standing on the highest mountains and saying, no, you're here for a short period of time and you're gone. And then the next person comes up. 844-967-2789 is the number. Your thoughts. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Phone lines are open. Your thoughts on whether or not a president should be immune. I don't even know why we're having the conversation. You know, with all of the things that are going on in this nation and all of the struggles that many Americans are faced with, the fact that we would be taking this time out of the United States Supreme Court to even have this conversation is just unconscionable. Shouldn't even be a conversation. The answer is no. Why do you need immunity if you're the president of the United States? You know, you wanted to be the president. Nobody said, put a gun to your head and said, hey, you have to be the president of the United States. It's something you've requested, as all presidents have requested. It's time that the presidents, former presidents of the United States, step up and make it plain. No, none of us needed to be protected from the things we did in the White House. Why should this man? 844-967-2789, your thoughts. Let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Don. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Well, he wants this bozo wants immunity because he wants to commit a crime. He said a little while ago in a speech that when he gets reelected again, he wants to sidestep the Constitution. Well, that's where all you got all your rights in, you know, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. So he's more or less telling you, you know, that he wants to become a supreme dictator, you know. So, you know, that's my comment for Monday, you know. For, what is it, Motown Monday, I guess this is?
Yes, sir. Hey, Don. Hey, Don, thank you very much, as always. You know, I understand. It's Monday morning. And people probably say, hey, Earl, we haven't had our coffee yet. And here you are talking about these tough, tough issues. I'm sorry. You know, my hours are 8 to 10. And maybe this would be more palatable in the afternoon or maybe during the evening, but it's not my time slot. So, I mean, the issues that I'm talking about are real and issues that we need to face. And we can't hide from them. The fact that this is a discussion that is being had and is taking up space in a time when there's so many other issues that impact the people of this nation is ridiculous. This is Robert Reich again. In reality, this is part of Trump's plan to avoid accountability. He wants to gum up the legal system to delay his federal trial until after the 2024 election. If he really believed he was innocent, he wouldn't want to have a trial. He would want to have a trial as soon as possible. 844-967-2789. Just as bad, the Supreme Court is abetting his plan by dragging his feet. Trump's criminal trial in January 6th case was supposed to begin in March, but now it's on hold until Trump's immunity claims is resolved by the Supreme Court. I'm wondering, Calvin, and this is, you know, let's say Trump loses and, you know, he doesn't win the presidency. And now all of a sudden these things come to bear. Because it looks like we don't have the courage to do the right thing right now. The Supreme Court doesn't have the courage to do the right thing until after maybe he loses, and then it's an easier thing to do. You think that might be?
I really hope not. It seems like they might. Yeah, I think the worst case scenario is they send it back down to the appellate courts for them to rule on it. And then it gets, like you said, drug out till after the election.
Let's go to Tom, back to Tom from LA. Tom, quickly.
Earl, not only should everyone know that the president is not above the law, but the presidents themselves should be yelling out and screaming out, we're not above the law.
Yeah, that's
the leader of our democracy. So I really would like to actually see Joe Biden even come out and say, I'm not above the law. No president. Like you said, Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, come out and say that no one is above the law because they're the leaders.
Hey,
they're the ones that should be leading by example.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Let's go to Mary from Madison. Mary, good morning to you. You say what?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I'm actually driving.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I first wanted to say, first of all, good morning. I wanted to respond to your comment about you have to deal with the tough, tough subjects before people have had their coffee. I want to thank you for that. Yeah. You know, it wakes us up. It reminds us that there are these things. I really appreciate it. Now, about what you're talking about with McDonald's this morning, what I'm thinking, and I hadn't thought it before, was that somebody's trying to see if we Americans are going to really fall into the trap of doing what the Germans did. Oh, yeah, having a Führer seems like a good idea. You know, and it seems like a possibility. And I just had that thought while you were telling us this most recent stuff. And so thank you. That's all I need.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Up next, police brutality and student anti-war movement on a Monday edition, a Motown Monday edition of the Earl Ingram Show.